This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Kusu Chuang and Roshan Kanison. It's 6 o'clock in the morning, Thursday the 16th of January. Can you believe it? We're already halfway through the first month of 2020. But do you know what's even more memorable than that? A momentous occasion? We have Chuang back in studio with us.
It's been just, what, 2 months since I left? I actually left 20th of November 2019. It's just gone bam, just like that. Warp speed, man.
So
it's incredible.
What have you been doing in that time? Have you been living the high life, Chuang?
Well, you know the south of France? Haven't been there. Do you know South America? Haven't been there. Just stayed to ASEAN, actually. Vietnam, you know, those kind of places. Penang, center of the universe. Apogee of all things amazing.
Of course
not
it
really.
Is.
Yeah. Like that, you know, basically.
Okay. Like that, la.
Did a bit of Nepal earlier, late last year. It was very nice,
how was that?
Actually. Gorgeous.
Mm.
Got to go. Everybody's got to go.
Did you go climbing while you were in Nepal?
Annapurna base camp, baby.
Mm.
How was the scene in Vietnam?
Nice. Oh my God. Actually, Vietnam, 93 million people, homogenous, one race, one people, one culture, one religion. That place is buzzing, man. I'm telling you, like 8-9% GDP we read about is true.
Yeah. I mean,
everybody works hard, man.
Everyone who goes to Vietnam or works in Vietnam, who's done any scouting in Vietnam, talks about how much potential it has and how they're all working two jobs, how they're just hustling away.
6 a.m, you wake up, the whole street is alive with people already. And the women work harder than men, no question.
It's only a matter of time before they become the crown jewel of ASEAN, Southeast Asia.
You look at FDI flows into ASEAN plus 5, Vietnam is right up there with Indonesia and Singapore.
Yeah, some of the PE fellows that we talk to, they are looking at Vietnam, at the startups there, because it's just very promising.
Yeah.
See, but, you know, it's the 6 a.m. stretch, Chuang. We shouldn't be talking about all this. It's too early in the morning.
Yeah, we've entered the geek verse pretty soon, right? Just 6:05 in the morning.
You know what we should be paying attention to? Our e-commerce, because there are side effects that we are not really paying attention to, from traffic to climate change. Maybe we need to dial down the e-commerce.
Is that what the Australians are saying?
I think the Australians have much bigger worries on that part.
They're saying because of you e-commerce guys and getting your food delivered to your doorstep, we are having lots of smoke and fires.
So every time you click buy on a website,
another fire breaks out in Australia.
A tree catches fire.
another fire breaks out.
That's right.
Another traffic jam starts.
That's right.
You know.
Somewhere a fairy dies, yeah.
Yeah.
What else do we have on the list then this morning?
I talk about how the gymnasium of the future might just well be the replacement for nightclubs.
That's interesting.
That's a theory I'm postulating.
You've caught my attention, Chuang.
Good, I've piqued your attention.
All right, and if we've also piqued your attention and you want to weigh in on the conversations, you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, though, we're asking why people maybe don't take your advice. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Come Undone by Duran Duran, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin, Chuang and Roshan. Now, have you ever been in that situation where someone comes to you and says, you know, I have a problem. And immediately you're like, yes, I can help you. Let me help you. Let me give you all of the advice in the world because I obviously know exactly what's wrong and how to fix it. And then, of course, that person doesn't follow your advice. So you wonder, you know, why didn't they follow this fantastic piece of advice I gave them?
Because they didn't want it in the first place. They just want a shoulder to cry on.
Unsolicited advice.
Kipo, kipo, like that.
Yeah, so Fast Company has a breakdown of exactly why sometimes people don't listen to your advice, but perhaps. And one of the first reasons, or one of three main reasons, is maybe you're solving the wrong challenge. Because say I come to you with a problem, Chuang. And if within the first 5 minutes you're like, okay, I know what's wrong, and here's how you fix it, chances are within that 5 minutes you haven't actually gotten a handle on the real issue. You've kind of just scratched the surface and jumped to a conclusion, and then maybe your advice isn't so applicable after all.
No, you're right. And I think that's very common today because there's so many problems that people face in this 21st century universe. And I've got lots of problems, and I dread to ask anyone else for the solution because I know there is no solution out there, let alone expect someone within 5 minutes to answer that question.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes when we hear the surface problem, there's actually a much deeper underlying root that maybe even the person who's saying they have a problem doesn't even know. So you're going to have to really talk it out to get to the real cause. Because sometimes dealing with the surface problem that's coming up, it's not going to solve the problem in the longer run. But a lot of times, you know, like Lynn, you brought your example was, hey, I have a problem, and then immediately someone springs in. That's normally what happens because it's the inverse of one of Stephen Covey's rules, right?
Stephen Covey's seven golden rules.
One of the first personal development books I've read, and it stuck with me since I was
such
15.
Such a geek, man.
Yes, I am, Chong.
I think we're all geeks, Chong. Otherwise, we wouldn't be sitting here.
Actually, that's true, what to do?
In one way or another.
Nobody talks about the trade war at 6:05 in the morning, right?
No one except us. It's a lonely world. Anyway, except if you like talking about the trade war at 6 a.m., let us know. And then maybe we'll do more of that. But the principle of seek first to understand and then to be understood. Sometimes we think we have the answer so quickly to a mold of an answer that a question that we have in our head because we assume the person's going to be having the similar problem that we do.
So what's your most existential question now? What's your number one, head doing in problem? Everybody's got head doing in problems, right?
My number one most existential problem today. It's a very macro problem and it's basically, where the jobs in Malaysia are going to come from. That's really what I think
about. Is that really the one thing
It's my biggest concern because if I want to continue living in this country, where's the economic power going to come from?
Well,
because
I'm
going to
solve your problem for you. You make your own job yourself. You create your own path.
Oh, not just for myself, though.
Don't care about the rest
of
the country.
Society, everyone needs some form of work and some form of
productivity. Can you go and join MIC? Then go and reinvigorate the whole economy.
Okay, la. You know what, Chong? I'll do that next year, la. I give Wawasan Doplo. Let me build up my political rep. The next year, I go join MIC.
So, reading between the lines, he's not going to follow your advice like that.
Exactly, right? That's a lot of beep.
I'll do it in some nebulous future, when I have all my ducks, all my chickens in line, right?
Yeah, someday, somehow.
Yeah. There's two kinds of problems, right? The first kind of problem are the superficial first world problems like, oh, why don't I have enough likes on my posting? Mm. And then the more existential is like, how can I find more happiness and meaning in my life?
Yeah, actually, that's
and no one has an answer
powerful.
To that.
Mm.
Yeah,
and I think it also comes down to how sometimes you go about explaining things to people, right? Because when someone is talking through a problem or just kind of even raises the subject of a problem in the first place, if you jump in too quickly by projecting your own problems onto theirs, sometimes you run the risk of explaining things they already understand, and that's not very nice for anyone. So the example that the Fast Company article gives is mansplaining. And having been on the end of and on the receiving end of mansplaining, it is really draining. And
sorry, what is mansplaining?
Mansplaining. It's called mansplaining typically because it happens within the format, the conversational format of a man talking to a woman.
Ah, so
right,
okay,
because
okay.
It's something that a lot of men do because they for some reason they either don't believe it when a woman says she knows something or she likes something. They feel the immediate need to test them. Like say, I'm a Marvel fan. Immediately someone says, oh, really? Are you sure you're a Marvel fan? And then they ask you detailed questions about it and then try to explain plots to you. That's kind of what mansplaining is. And I've seen it happen on social media on a variety of topics, from climate change being mansplained to climate professors to a whole host of other issues. And That kind of explaining gets you nowhere because it doesn't even get you any goodwill for trying to help solve the problem. Because what happens is that the person you're speaking to just immediately thinks, okay, he's completely devalued my expertise or anything that I have to contribute to this conversation. Just let him talk, lah. I'm just going to sit here and nod and just not take his advice whatsoever.
Basically, someone being a smart aleck, I guess.
But under this concept, it must be two persons of the opposite gender in the same conversation?
It typically is.
Okay. So it's like Venus and Uranus talking to each other.
I guess so, John.
Is that right?
Okay.
I guess so.
What are the two planets, right? Different planets.
Yeah, no, I...
Sorry, I'm a bit lost, but hold on.
I don't get quite where you went there, Chong, but basically it just boils down to try and understand where the person is coming from, right? And understand the problem that they have before you start coming up with solutions. It's like practicing active listening, right? When you're having a conversation, say that you're having this conversation for an hour, don't within the first 5 minutes propose a solution. Maybe talk about it, ask relevant questions to kind of try and dig deeper into the meaning of life. No, into the root of the problem before you consider suggesting something. I mean, maybe they're not even looking for suggestions in the first place. Maybe they will come up with the suggestion just from talking to you and digging deeper into a problem.
Yeah, sometimes just people need someone to just talk to.
And then
a sounding board, and through the talking out of things, you find your own solution through that. And sometimes that can be more valuable than someone giving you an answer.
Yeah, so sometimes they just want a listening ear, right? Just a someone who's just going to listen to you.
That said, there are many people who have lived lives before us, and there's plenty to learn from them. And just because we think we can solve our own problems, that doesn't mean we shouldn't be learning from experience.
Absolutely. So do let us know what you think about this. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a few messages coming up for you, and then we'll be taking a look at some gyms of the future. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Don't Stop Me Now by Queen, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin, Chuang and Roshan. Now, you know, we're coming right off of the CES that happened, the Consumer Electronics Show that was happening in Las Vegas. And that was very, it basically put forward smart everything, smart homes, smart cities, smart cars, smart toilets. Basically, everything is getting an upgrade or a facelift to be more electronically savvy. And apparently, gyms could be also in the way of this upgrade. Because, so Fast Company has another article looking at gyms of the future. And it estimates that, and it expects that gyms sometime in the nebulous future will be virtual, gamified, totally immersive. Basically, as you put it earlier, the nightclubs, the new nightclubs.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a sea change in the gym environment because, you know, the phase ones where you saw people like Rocky, you know, sweaty, smelly. nobody else but them would go inside. And then you have the phase two, right? The kind of place like Fitness First, kind of like, you know, the nice towels and the soaps and all that. This is level three. Level three, and you can categorize into any number of situations where it's all about the experience, right? So there's some which are very full of technology, right? Right, so your sensors, your measuring equipment, your bicycle machines, and then the other kind where there's live DJs, entertainment, music. You know, the instructors are they take on the you know like Bikram, you know the yoga guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, every instructor is like a performer, right? And then you got another category where there's conveniences. You know, you can do your milk, your shopping, your stuff, your laundry while you work out at the same time. So gyms have taken on this new shape, and some of them are even becoming community hubs where you go there, get your work done, meet a few people, you know, pair up, and then go for a yoga session. Do you know what I mean? So it's all about getting your retention rates up. You know how when you join a gym last time, right, you pay one time and then you're lazy all, you know? But then you've got, you know, something to look forward to. Well, that's the gym of the future.
Yeah, I've noticed that it's become very trendy to be active. Most of my friends, where 10 years ago we would be in front of a console playing FIFA or something like that, we're now actually doing sports things. I say sports things because...
Sports things?
Yeah.
So you're not as Alamaz Roshan, you know, sports things.
But, you know, things from either like we've gone bouldering, we've gone yoga, we've gone spinning, all these different things. Or there's this other thing called Hado, which is basically a virtual reality dodgeball situation.
That ain't sports, baby.
Yeah, but it's really tiring though, Chuan.
It's really tiring.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you're running around.
Oh, you so are physically the VR thing going on.
So you're just wearing these goggles and you've got like these Iron Man things on your hand and you're shooting at your competitor, but you're running around.
Basically, if you've ever watched Dragon Ball, right?
Okay.
And you know it.
Hadouken.
Yeah. That's what you're pretending to do in a VR studio, and I've actually seen a lot of this kind of gamification and digitalization really starting to come to be accepted as a part of life. Because I joined a really fancy gym, I think at the end of last year,
the one upstairs
is Babel, and it's really fancy. And I remember the first day going into the gym.
Yeah, it's like Four Seasons, and then there's Babel.
Yeah. And I'd never seen so much technology integrated into machines. And I walked in on my own the very first time I went in there, completely intimidated. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to use the treadmill. How stupid must I be to mess up a treadmill? And then I got onto the treadmill and there was this touch screen with, you know, you can pretend you're running along the beach or you can choose your outdoor experience.
That is incredible, man. Do you know what I mean?
And the other thing is that there is also that community element to it, Chuang, because they have this kind of a member of the month thing going where you kind of compete to see how many activities you can rack up. And I admit, I looked at it and the competitive part of me thought, maybe I should go to the gym more and see where I get on this ranking. So it's really actually quite clever.
Yeah. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Yeah,
and
it's pretty smart.
On some of these machines, you can actually do virtual racing with other people who are in the gym at the same time.
So on the treadmill. You see who runs faster.
Yeah, you can be on this virtual track racing against each other. So you've got a bit of a competitive edge there. And just generally, things like ClassPass, which is that app that allows you to use different facilities, it's made all this more accessible for many people, because sometimes the hurdle to enter one gym membership is significant. You're paying maybe 150 to 200 ringgit a month for a gym membership, as opposed to this one ClassPass thing, which allows you to do bouldering 1 week and maybe you go do a spin class another week. And it allows you that variability that makes it fun. And where it becomes sociable is, you know, before that, this is a place where maybe the new networking is happening where it used to be golf. Maybe it's diversified into much more varied sports.
Well, yeah, that's why henceforth I said it's the new nightclub, right? Because last time you go to nightclub, go and meet people all, right? Not in the gym, during the day. You don't have to go and buy, well, you have to buy expensive coffee and juices, right? But the one victim I think is going to happen on this is the fact that you used to work out outdoors in the fresh air and then now you're inside processed air with air conditioning. I don't think that's healthy. But maybe the gym in the future will have outdoor sessions.
Yeah, so that's something that that Fast Company suggests also, that these kinds of gyms and exercise spots will crop up in the most unlikely of places. Maybe there'll be a little corner in your supermarket where you have a VR headset and a little running track where you can go and clock up a few kilometres while you buy your milk.
Somehow I can't see Noel Lim doing that kind of thing.
Why only Noel Lim though? Well, do let us know what you think. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have the 6:30 news coming up, but first, here's Run Baby Run by Garbage, BFM 89.9. You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Kuzu Chuang and Roshan Kanisan. Now, this is the age of e-commerce that we're living in, and the World Economic Forum expects that the demand for urban last-mile deliveries will increase by 78% by 2030, driven by our online spending habits. The problem is, of course, the question of what this is doing for the environment, because we have millions and millions of packages delivered each day amid worsening traffic congestions, a glut of carbon emissions. So could it be that the package that you're expecting at your office is in fact doing that little bit more to destroy the planet?
I don't think the World Economic Forum have actually given me enough perspective here, because the old world as we know it is replete with examples of people flocking to malls on any given day of the week and causing traffic congestion to go and buy their stuff in the big malls of the world, right? What happens with e-commerce is they're basically taking these cars off the road, keeping them at home and getting stuff delivered to their homes instead. Is there a net effect of positivity here? That's my question.
So I think the issue comes here. If we had one delivery company doing all of it, then you would have efficiencies. But the problem is, now more logistic players are getting involved, right? Everyone wants to get this piece of this logistics delivery pie, get that delivery. I mean, if we talk about food delivery, a few years ago, all we had was Foodpanda. Now we've got maybe three different companies delivering food. So
I know one person that does every single meal by GrabFood. Actually, I like GrabFood as well. It's pretty good.
So one of the reasons I don't personally get any food delivered is because I don't like the packaging that comes with it. So I will actually go out and buy that food, or I just won't eat, I guess. No, I'll just scramble some eggs or something like that.
So I give you an example, right? So like, say when you want to go and have a mama meal, right? Chances are you drive your car to the mama, right? Park your car, go down, eat your thing. If you now, like what I do, I call it from Bala's on GrabFood, right? A guy on two wheels, not four, comes on his cup chai, which is, you know, obviously going to use less fuel than I will, comes to my house instead. Net effect, positive, you see? So I see it as a good thing.
So that's on a one-to-one case, right?
Yeah.
But what if you have hundreds of bikes doing that? And now you're talking about people who wouldn't have originally ordered food or ordered something online are now ordering things online. It's a new market that's opened up.
Mm-hmm.
And there are more there are more delivery vehicles entering the roads every day. Maybe the net effect is positive, but the traffic situation becomes worse. And then obviously there's also the carbon emissions and all of that.
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest drivers of this is also just the sheer volume of packages that are expected to be delivered, right? So there was a survey, I can't remember who by now, but that said that in 2018, across the 13 major markets in the world, so some of the, they saw 87 billion parcels being delivered in 1 year. And that number is expected to, at the very least, double by 2025. So with hundreds of billions of parcels being delivered around the world, you can imagine how much fuel that's going to take, how much that more that's going to add to your traffic. So the question is, how do you mitigate some of these issues, right? And some countries have already started looking at the possibility of electric delivery vehicles. I think Amsterdam is one that is starting to move towards electricity, kind of more electric vehicles on the road, particularly their delivery trucks. So that could be an issue. That could be one way to kind of try and solve this problem. But that, of course, takes more infrastructure than, for example, we here in Malaysia have at this point.
Yeah, so I think the other solutions include things like nighttime deliveries, or you have a third party basically handle the last mile delivery for multiple brands. So FedEx, DHL, and whoever else, one other delivery company, hand over to a third party once they enter one particular area. So at least this third party can handle all the logistics. So there's more efficiency as opposed to three companies delivering. You know, if you've ordered three different things from three different companies, DHL, FedEx, and US Post could be delivering
GDX,
to you on the same day. Sorry, I just ran out of delivery companies and I went with the US Post. I didn't even say Post Malaysia, by the way. I went US Post.
Exactly. Come on, branding, where's Post Malaysia? But I don't think anyone really has a clear handle on what's going to be good or bad from all this because it's so new, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in the old world, you went through a huge amount of stress and tension and time wasted just to get to the mall or to the shop to buy your stuff. Now it just comes to you. So the amount of productivity that can be boosted, the amount of stress that you can reduce, the amount of time that you can free up to do other more productive things is accelerated. But I don't know. I mean, there's huge repercussions. And maybe if you bought one package a day last time, now you buy two because it's so much easier, cheaper. I don't know. Does the economy get bigger and as a result, does it get better?
There are so many different facets here, right?
Yeah.
Time cost is a big thing. The reason why deliveries become so popular is because accessibility. People don't have the time to cook food sometimes. So that's where delivery, and sometimes people don't have time to leave the office. So that's where delivery comes into play. So, this is one angle at looking at it, but I guess we'll have to see how this actually turns out, because it's actually still very, very new.
Yeah, so do let us know what you think about this. Do you consider the climate when you shop online? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a few messages coming up for you and then we'll be taking a look at what's been said on the front pages of the newspapers. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was When I Come Around by Green Day, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Chuang and Roshan. Now, thank you very much for your messages this morning. We do have a couple of tweets and WhatsApps in response to the subjects we've been discussing. KY Ho says, tech and gym as well as deliveries will lead to humans achieving more with less physical effort, but might result in a new human with fertile brains but weak biceps.
Philip Stamaria has poked in with a very interesting comment suggesting that the Grab food deliveries, in fact the food delivery guys on the motorcycles, nothing more than road hindrances, because they go against traffic, they cut through lanes, they don't stop at traffic lights, they flaunt every road rule we have. I refuse to use them. Kind of got a point there, though, I think.
I mean, some of us have definitely experienced the inconveniences that sometimes delivery bikes can pose,
yeah,
especially when they don't necessarily obey the laws of the road.
I've been double parked by delivery bikes multiple times,
yep.
and it's the most annoying thing. But at least delivery bikes, you can move them out of the way as opposed to cars.
That is true. And we were talking about climate, right, in relation to delivery. Ramli Sinirup has chimed in on Twitter saying that only consider the climate when shopping online for a fan or aircon. So, I mean, that's a big purchase right there, the climate, the impact of between a fan or an air conditioner. So cheers on you, Ramli. I think that is one of the ways to, what you buy online can sometimes be more impactful than actually buying online. But other than that, I think that's all we've got from the social media.
Yeah, well, we have Joan who also commented on VR and gamification, whether or not it would encourage you to go to the gym. And Joan says it would appeal to some and getting them to be more active is good. But I'm from the old school camp, put on an unsociable attitude, kill myself at the gym and be alive again once leaving the gym. No need for AI to entice me to exercise.
Yeah. All the power to you, Joan. That sounds like a lot of resilience right there.
Yeah, that's self-motivation right there, man. You know?
It is indeed. Now, that's all that we have from social media. Let's take a look at the front pages of the newspapers. Now, the NST has gone with historic lows for their front page, coupled with a picture of a dam at low water levels. And this is a story that's continued on page 10 of the NST, talking about some of the dams in Penang and how they are actually at some of the lowest ever water levels. Air Hitam Dam is at 62%. Teluk Bahang Dam is at 39.5%.
Yeah, I actually was there at Teluk Bahang Dam about 2-3 weeks ago, and it was already about 60% then. It's now 40%. So obviously there's been no rainfall. Good news, guys. Malaysia Kini is reporting on one of its main stories that the Kelantan government has found one way. Among them, a whole plethora of options. One way to spend the 400 million ringgit it got in a one-off assistance from the federal government last year. You know what that that method is? They're going to be buying a Mercedes-Benz S-Class S450L AMG for their chief minister. Great spend of money. It's only $600,000.
And that's probably tax-free because retail is definitely not 600,000 ringgit for that car.
License plate number, guys? DV1. Go for it, guys.
That is that's an impressive vehicle. But considering the fact that our Prime Minister uses a Proton Pradana, maybe we shouldn't be... I don't know how this is a thing. Really, I do not understand how this is a thing. How can government officials justify the purchase of such extravagant vehicles?
Yeah, in investment banking circles, there's such things as a CLM, where if you outshine your boss, that's a career-limiting move. Just saying, guys, just saying.
Yeah, I mean, yes, he's the chief minister of the state. The state runs its own coffers and all of that. But, I mean, I'm sure your state has better uses of that money.
Well, we also do have another story in the NST talking about the Bersatu polls upcoming, because some Bersatu grass members apparently are worried about the ex-UMNO party jumpers who've come in and don't want to see them holding positions. So this is because this is one of the first party elections that Bersatu is seeing, and a comment from a PAPK source. So PAPK is their Bersatu's Penggerak Awal Pendaftar Keahlian kind of subgroup have said that these newcomers can wait their turn.
And I've got the, speaking of how to spend money, I've got the Financial Daily in front of me, and the cabinet has decided not to sell Plus. That's the front page of the Financial Daily, and we'll be covering more about this in about half an hour, about 20 minutes or so. Also, a bit on the Goldman's profit slump on 1MDB legal woes. I think this is the money they've had to keep aside for the fines.
Yeah, just one more item for me. Page 5 of the Star, really showing the state of the nation where the media industry is. The full page, full colour, all singing, all dancing, Technicolor advertisement for Richard Mille watches. Page 5 of the Star. May I remind both of you that a Richard Mille watch starts at 1,200,000 ringgit each. So I'm wondering I'm struggling to understand which Star right reader would have 1.2 million ringgit to blow on a Richard Mille. The only thing I've got to say right now is well done, Andre Vyazakis, for procuring an advertiser of this caliber to the Star.
It's a big scoop for them.
It's a big scoop, yeah.
All right. Well, that's all that we have for you from the papers this morning. It's coming up to the 7 o'clock news, and then we'll be having the business end of the morning run. But first, here is some music to take you into the news. People Everywhere Still Alive by Kruang Bin, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.